down his face, congealing there, freezing. He would often say to my father, "Take care of your son. He's very weak and dried up. Look after him well to avoid the selection. Eat. It doesn't matter what or when. Eat everything you can. The weak don't hang about for long here." And he was so thin himself, so dried up, so weak. "The only thing that keeps me alive," he used to say, "is that Razel and the children are still alive. If it wasn't for them, I couldn't keep going." He came toward us one evening, his face radiant. "A transport's just come in from Antwerp. I'm going to see them tomorrow. They'll be sure to have news." He went off. We were not to see him again. He had had news. Real news. In the evening, lying on our beds, we would try to sing some of the Hasidic melodies, and Akiba Drumer would break our hearts with his deep, solemn voice. Some talked of God, of his mysterious ways, of the sins of the Jewish people, and of their future deliverance. But I had ceased to pray. How I sympathized with Job. I did not deny God's existence, but I doubted his absolute justice. Akiba Drumer said, "God is testing us. He wants to find out whether we can dominate our base instincts and kill the Satan within us. We have no right to despair, and if he punishes us relentlessly, it's a sign that he loves us all the more." Hershkenud, well versed in the Kabbalah, spoke of the end of the world and the coming of the Messiah. Only occasionally during these conversations did the thought occur to me, where is my mother at this moment? And Zipporah?
"Your mother is still a young woman," said my father.